This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And good afternoon. This is not Tony Perkins. This is Dr. Everett Piper with Oklahoma Wesleyan University sitting in for Tony this afternoon. As you all know, Tony has suffered a loss as a result of the flooding in Louisiana, and he is still in the midst of trying to clean up the mess as a result of his home being put underwater. I'm sure he would appreciate all of our prayers, and he definitely deserves the day off as he takes care of his home and he takes care of his family. Again, Dr. Everett Piper, I'm the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. I've sat in before for Tony, and I'm pleased and honored to do so again today. If you want to call in, remember that the number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. If you'd like to call in, stay on the line until the producer connects us, and I'll try to take your calls. One of the things I'd like to start out with today in our first segment before we break is an explanation as to why Oklahoma Wesleyan University appeared in the news last week, suing the federal government, not for the abortifacient mandate, which we've already challenged them to the level of the Supreme Court, and we're awaiting that decision even now as we speak. If you don't remember, Oklahoma Wesleyan is one of the co-petitioners with the Little Sisters of the Poor case. We stand with the Little Sisters saying that the federal government, the Health and Human Services, has no right to tell Bible-believing Christians, or people of any faith for that matter, that they have to avail themselves of abortion-inducing drugs in their health care, that they have no right to hijack the health care of a bunch of Catholic nuns with the Little Sisters of the Poor Order, or evangelical Christians at Oklahoma Wesleyan University who are pro-life. Catholics are pro-life. Nuns are celibate. Why in the world do they need any contraception, let alone abortion-inducing drugs? Frankly, we believe that the nuns that are part of the Little Sisters of the Poor have enough intelligence to make their own decisions on what type of abortion and what type of contraception they do or do not want in their health care. And likewise, at Oklahoma Wesleyan University, the women that work here are pro-life by definition. They know that we're a pro-life organization. We're unapologetic in identifying ourselves as such. Everyone who applies to work here knows who we are, and they want to work here for the very reasons that we specify in our mission statement and in our policies. In other words, they associate with Oklahoma Wesleyan University because they agree with the policies of this evangelical, Bible-believing, conservative, liberal arts university. These women are smart enough to make their own decisions on what type of health care they want or don't want. They're smart enough to make their own decisions on what contraception they do or they don't want. And the government should stay out of their private business and stop insulting them by suggesting that the government knows better than the women that work at Oklahoma Wesleyan University know in terms of how to handle those private decisions in their own lives. So we have sued the federal government when it comes to the abortifacient mandate. And just last week, we filed another lawsuit. This one is with regard to Title IX. Now, you know that Title IX is being used by the federal government right now to basically turn its very meaning upside down. You know that under the auspices of Title IX, that colleges and universities across the land received a mandate from the Department of Education telling us that we had to provide transgender accommodation to students on our campuses. In other words, under the auspices of a law that was established in 1972 to give women equal access to the athletic field, equal access to facilities and programs, we receive a letter from the government telling us that now we have to deny the biological reality, the biological fact of a female, and take her program away, take her shower away, her bathroom away, her toilet away, her privacy away, and give it to any biological male who fancies himself as a female. This is anti-science, and it's anti-woman. It's actually misogyny, because it insults the woman, says she doesn't even really exist any longer, that anybody who feels or fancies or fabricates female identity can supplant a woman who is biologically real, take her rights and privileges and privacies away, and then avail themselves of the Title IX protections. We obviously think this is wrong. Well, there's a new edict, if you will, bureaucratic edict coming out from the Department of Education and its Office of Civil Rights. This one says that we must dumb down the definition of sexual harassment and take due process away from our students in when such claims are made on our campus. We have filed a lawsuit against the Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Education. We've said, no, we will not be complicit in that particular act. Now, why? Why are we saying that? We're responding to the Department of Education and the Office of Civil Rights, and we're saying this. You're forcing colleges to compromise a criminal investigation process by requiring us to convene a campus committee of faculty, staff, and students that by definition violates the due process and other corresponding constitutional rights of our students. A student under this Dear Colleague letter from the Office of Civil Rights also loses his or her right to privacy, and in some cases even loses the right to representation. This Dear Colleague letter from the Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Education under the auspices of Title IX requires us to begin teaching seminars on consensual sex on our campus, seminars that are antithetical to the Oklahoma Wesleyan mission statement and our moral code. And finally, the Dear Colleague letter violates the law, more specifically the Administrative Procedures Act, which requires that government agencies stop trying to establish law by bureaucratic fiat, and we're telling them that they need to instead go through the congressional process and the legislative process like they're supposed to do. Oklahoma Wesleyan is not going to comply with any compromise of our students' constitutional rights. Our students have the right to due process. They have the right to privacy. They have the right of unimpeded assistance from the local police without it being compromised by an ill-informed and untrained committee of peers and faculty. All of the students at our university should have the right to avail themselves of the local police without their petition being compromised by an Office of Civil Rights, Department of Education, Title IX mandated committee of amateurs that contravenes the due process and confidentiality of the legal process. This circumvention of the law inordinately endangers a female student. Hear me on this. What they're requiring is that we inordinately endanger the female student's privacy. Here's the fact. If a female student feels that she's been violated, if she feels that she has been the victim of sexual harassment or sexual assault, don't you think that the reality of her having to drag that claim before a committee of peers, students and faculty who are not trained in law, they're not trained in how to investigate and adjudicate a criminal claim, won't this have a chilling effect on her willingness to even report an offense once it has occurred? Why would she come forward with something as personal as a sexual assault if she now knows that her privacy is going to be violated in front of a kangaroo court of peers and faculty who don't know what they're doing? So we refuse to accept any government intrusion that would require Oklahoma Wesleyan University to teach the antithesis of our Christian beliefs concerning sexual behavior. We refuse to compromise our moral code by our federal government's moral nihilism. We also refuse to succumb to the bureaucratic fiat, which is akin to saying that we must teach our students how to drink responsibly when they have an honor code that says they won't drink at all. It's like telling them that even though we were founded, even though Oklahoma Wesleyan was founded as an abolitionist college, that we must teach the virtues of slavery. It's the opposite of who we are to force us to teach consensual sex when none of our students are to engage in any sex that's unbiblical. It's watering down the morality of our students and forcing us to wallow in the mud of Washington's moral confusion. One more point, then I'm going to summarize before we go into a break. It seems awfully ironic that a government as sexually misogynistic as ours would now be telling Oklahoma Wesleyan University how to adjudicate sexual harassment cases. In other words, isn't it awfully ironic that the party of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton is now telling Oklahoma Wesleyan University, a conservative Christian university, which has sexual standards, moral standards, isn't it ironic that the party of Clinton is telling me how to adjudicate and investigate sexual harassment cases? Maybe they should be calling me and asking me what to do rather than sending me letters and telling me how to do it. They might want to ask me for advice rather than give me theirs. It's a bit like putting the fox in charge of the chickens, in my view. So, in summary, Oklahoma Wesleyan is pro-privacy. We are pro-constitution. And we are pro-religious liberty. This significant piece of this Dear Colleague letter issued by the Department of Education and the Office of Civil Rights states that in addition to involving law enforcement upon the accusation of a sexual assault, colleges and universities must convene an unofficial court of faculty, staff, and administration and peers of students, and we must drag the accuser into the spotlight along with the accused to investigate the claim. We can't just turn it over to the local police like we currently do. This completely undermines the law in a number of ways that I've already mentioned, and this loss of privacy is bound to keep many victims of sexual assault from coming forward and bringing their attackers to justice. And we refuse to compromise the safety of our students we've been entrusted with in this way. We're pro-constitution. Oklahoma Wesleyan requires all of our students, faculty, and staff to sign a code of conduct upon entering this community. And part of this code is a commitment to the biblical view of sexuality within the context of biblical marriage. Students who choose to behave differently and break this code in any way are already removed from their place at this university without the interference of the Department of Education and the Office of Civil Rights. And this Dear Colleague letter is a monumental case of government overreach, compromising the constitutional rights of our students, their privacy, their right to due process, and their right to representation. It's an attempt by the government to commandeer the disciplinary process of a Christian university, and we will not comply. Finally, we're pro-religious liberty. Oklahoma Wesleyan is known for our commitment to religious liberty. And this Dear Colleague letter is a direct violation at the very core of our beliefs, of our Christian character, of what we want to teach our students as to what a biblical ethic is and biblical sexuality is and biblical behavior is. This letter asks us, tells us, that we must convene seminars on consensual sex. Why would I want to have a seminar on how to have sex consensually when the student has already signed an honor code that says they won't have any sex outside the boundaries of what the Bible prescribes? This is the reason that Oklahoma Wesleyan is filing this lawsuit. The government needs to stay out of our business. We are a private, Christian, conservative, liberal arts university. We've functioned this way for over 100 years. We do not have any claims of sexual violence on our campus. We have no claims of that. And if we do have any criminal claim, sexual or otherwise, our practice is to take the person who's been the victim of that particular act to the local police and support them fully as the police and local law enforcement investigates and proceeds with the adjudication. This is the way the Constitution prescribes that we help students in cases of criminal conduct. And why in the world would we want to compromise it and do it differently? This is Dr. Everett Piper at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. If you want to call in, it's 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We're going to take a break, and we'll talk to you right after the commercials.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Last year, the AFR family provided enough funding to expand a children's home and orphanage for boys and girls in Southeast India. Well, thanks to your gifts, more children now have a safe place to go for shelter, nutritious meals, and hope for the future.
With my studies and with my strength, I can follow my dream.
Recently, the Indian government changed the building codes, requiring a completely separate building for boys, and they need to break ground on this new home by September 15th. Otherwise, these boys will be forced into a non-Christian facility, where children like Sasgiri could not have experienced a love that changed his life.
I felt God. When we ate, when we studied, I was happy because we were not alone.
On Tuesday, August 30th, join AFR, and together let's build room for more to keep young orphan boys in India in a safe, nurturing, Christ-loving children's home operated by India Partners. 1,000 AFR listeners making a gift of $148 will make it happen. But you don't have to wait until August 30th. Give today at AFR.net.
And again, this is Dr. Everett Piper sitting in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. The first segment, I spent the entire time telling you why Oklahoma Wesleyan, and I in particular, feel it's necessary to step before the federal government and say no with regard to its reinterpretation of Title IX. I told you the first case is that they have used Title IX to tell us that we have to provide transgender accommodations and thereby take away the rights of the biological female, the factual female, and give those rights and privileges over to a biological male who fancies himself as a female. I've suggested that that's misogynistic, that it's anti-woman, and that it's the antithesis of what Title IX was supposed to do, and that was give women equal access to programs and facilities and sports. I've said that we're saying no to the federal government, the Department of Education, the Office of Civil Rights, with regard to their mandate that we dumb down the definition of sexual harassment and take away due process, take away the right to privacy, take away the right to representation that this Dear Colleague letter is requiring of us. I won't belabor that further, but you've heard my point, and I do have a couple callers. We have Scott from Virginia. We'll take you first. Scott, are you there?
I am. Dr. Piper, thank you for taking my call. And, well, gosh, I've heard you talk over the past few days for Tony. And by any chance, would Oklahoma Wesleyan University be opening up a satellite campus in Richmond, Virginia, so I can send my kids to it and they don't have to go so far?
Well, I need to send you $20 for the free advertisement here. Thank you. But seriously, we do have online programs. So anybody listening right now that's interested in an online degree from Oklahoma Wesleyan University, please go to our website. It's www.okw.edu. We have an online degree in Christian apologetics. We have online degrees in business administration and whatnot, too. So if that's the I didn't set him up. I didn't pay him to call in with that question.
Not at all. In fact, I just love what you had to say in that. And I can't quote your article from earlier. I think it was late last year regarding triggers the craziness that goes on in the classroom where you have to give trigger warnings and all like that. And,
right.
That's what really turned me on to Oklahoma Wesleyan and really your backbone to stand up against the evils that are being thrown at us and our kids. because that's really what it is. It's anti-God, so therefore it's evil.
Scott, I appreciate it. And yeah, I did write that article last Thanksgiving season is when it was. It was in November. I titled it, "This is Not a Daycare, It's a University," where I challenged the narcissism and self-absorption of our culture, where our students think that any idea that challenges them, any idea that makes them uncomfortable, where I even had a student in chapel here at Oklahoma Wesleyan University who was offended by a sermon on 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. This is the quintessential love chapter of the Bible, and this kid was offended by it. He felt that we had singled him out, quote-unquote, and we had singled his peers out. And my response to him was, well, that uncomfortable feeling you had when you heard that sermon on love, it's called your conscience. You might want to attend to it. And a good sermon is supposed to make you feel guilty. A good sermon is supposed to make you want to come forward to the altar and confess your sins rather than feeling some sort of desire to be coddled in your selfishness. And I concluded my article by saying, my land, this is a university. It's not a daycare. This is a place for you to come and grow up. It's not a place for you to sit around and wallow in your selfishness. And that thing went viral. We had 3 million hits on it. And in fact, NBC is interviewing me tomorrow on where we stand now, some months after that article. So you all might want to follow that there. And Scott, I appreciate you bringing that up, and I appreciate the advertisement for Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Seriously, folks, education matters. Ideas matter. Ideas have consequences. And if you continue to send your kids off to institutions that teach this pablum, this self-absorption, this narcissism, this nothingism, this total moral nihilism, where it doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you, this nonsense of moral relativism, you should not be surprised that when they come home from college that they bring those ideas with them. What you teach today in the classroom will be practiced tomorrow in your living room and in your courtrooms and in your churches and in your corporations. Ideas have consequences. They matter. There is nothing more important than to make sure that you send your students, send your kids, send your sons, send your daughters to institutions that teach the truth. That truth is an objective reality to be found and embraced and to be owned, not something that you make up as you go along through your college experience. I don't give you degrees and opinions. You actually learn something here. I really don't care what your opinion is when you graduate, and you shouldn't care what mine is. I want you to know what's true. So that is incredibly important, and I'm glad that Scott primed me for that to get on my soapbox. Larry from Indiana. Larry, are you still with me?
Hi, Dr. Parker. Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call, and I just want to ask you to tell us how you really feel. I do appreciate your passion and your clarity. It's really refreshing to hear that. A few points. Number one is that I would hope to begin to hear from more women.
Larry, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm having a real hard time hearing you. Can you get closer to the mic or on the microphone on your phone, because we can't really understand what you're saying.
Okay, I will try. Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay. I would really like to hear from more women about the effects of this ruling and how it has affected them with Title IX. That's one thing. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, basically you're saying that women need to speak up with regard to these Title IX mandates.
Exactly. And I have heard very few women talk about this, and they're the ones that are mainly being affected.
Larry, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break, and I'll come back after the break and respond to your question. I appreciate that, and you're spot on. Women do need to speak up, because this is something that's affecting women in a negative way, much more so than men. So thank you for your question. We're going to take a break right now. This is Dr. Everett Piper with Oklahoma Wesleyan University sitting in for Tony Perkins today. The call-in number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And when I come back, I'll answer Larry's questions and any others that come in.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, the dollar continues to slip, and that is going to weigh a little bit on markets, but everything's looking like things are going to be positive in spite of the dollar slipping and in spite of the fact that oil is slipping. So interesting, as we watch that, gold, of course, doing fairly well right now because dollar is weakening. Of course, everybody is waiting for later this week for Janet Yellen to speak. They're wondering her tone as it relates to raising interest rates. It's hard to believe that we're still talking about this. 5 years this has been the scenario in the news of waiting for Janet Yellen to see if she's going to raise rates. Raising rates is kind of irrelevant. We're talking about 25 basis points or a quarter of 1%, taking the rate up to 0.75%. It is a non-event, but nonetheless, that just goes to show how fragile these markets are. CNSNews.com published an article I wrote in reference to the Federal Reserve actually confirming some things I've been saying for some time right now, and their non-action based on what is supposedly being full employment is confirmation that even the Federal Reserve Chair understands that the numbers are nothing more than smoke and mirrors. You can find that on our website at financialissues.org. You need to check it out and get a different perspective on how well this economy is or isn't doing. A surprise over in Europe as manufacturing exports hit a two-year high. Very surprising, because they thought the Brexit vote was going to impact that negatively, and it looks like it's not impacting it at all. So plenty of other news coming out this week in reference to the economy.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Dr. Everbike Piper back again, sitting in for Tony Perkins today. Again, I'll give you the number in case anybody wants to call in here while we're having these conversations this afternoon with regard to Title IX so far. That's what we've been focused on because I led the program with that. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. I'm going to respond to Larry, and then I'm going to bring Tina from Alabama on the line. My response to Larry is this. Indeed, women do need to step to the forefront. Indeed, women do need to say that they are facts. They're not fabrications. They are real. They are not just the product of some fantasy. A female is a biological, physiological, genetic fact. Women should be stepping forward and saying, we are pro-science, and there's nothing more scientifically proven, scientifically verifiable, there's nothing more empirically obvious than your gender. And in fact, a scientist is the first one to pronounce anything upon you at birth. He's called a medical doctor, and when you're born, he says or she says, it's a boy, it's a girl, because of the obvious, the physiological obvious of the female and the male. You know, when Wilberforce was fighting slavery, one of the ways that he won the battle and won the argument was to draw attention to the fact that slaves were people, that slaves were real people. And in fact, there was a coin, an emblem that was produced, and it said on the coin with an image of a slave in chains, quote unquote, am I not a man? And I believe in the face of this misogyny of Title IX and the federal government and these bureaucratic edicts which dumb down the definition of the female to nothing but a fabrication and a fantasy, women need to rise up and say, am I not a woman? Am I not real? That's my view, and I think leadership from not just men, but also women, would bring the obvious to the forefront, as Wilberforce did in the face of slavery. This would bring the obvious to the forefront in the face of misogyny. Tina from Alabama, are you still with me? Well, I think I lost Tina. So we have Tim from Texas.
Hello, Dr. Piper. Thank you for taking my call. And I really appreciate how well you articulated all the above cases about that. And I think that your words hopefully will inspire other Christians and other believers to be salt and light in this generation that we find ourselves in, because there's really no end to the debaseness where humans can, you know, just fall down to. And if Christians don't wake up in this nation and take a stand and say, this is as far as we're going to go, we're not going to go any further, and draw a line in the sand, then it's only just going to continue to get worse and worse, as we've already seen it. And I appreciate what Charles University is doing and taking a stand and putting it on the line and not being afraid to back down from what a powerful government can intimidate and do to an organization such as yourself. And I just want to say I appreciate that. It's very inspiring to hear just a voice of a call in a darkness and shedding light in these times where we find ourselves today.
Well, Tim, thank you for that. I really appreciate the affirmation. You know, I believe you used the word intimidation, and I think indeed that is what's happening. I've had people, since we announced our lawsuit against this most recent Title IX bureaucratic edict, they've asked me, well, why are you the only ones? Because Oklahoma Wesleyan University is the only university in the entire nation that has stepped forward to file this lawsuit. Nobody else. Not Harvard, Dartmouth, Princeton, Yale, not TU, OU, OSU, not KU, KSU, nobody. Nobody else has filed this lawsuit. Why? Why isn't anybody else stepping forward to defend the constitutional rights of their students? Why isn't anybody else stepping forward to defend the privacy of the female? Why isn't anybody else stepping forward to defend the right to due process and the right to representation? Why? Why are all my peers remaining silent? Well, I know why. I know behind the scenes that many agree with me. Many believe that this bureaucratic edict is unconstitutional and that it hurts the students rather than helps the students. That it'll result in more lawsuits because the universities that actually comply with this Dear Colleague letter are going to be sued for violating the civil rights, the constitutional rights, the right to due process of the students that they drag before these kangaroo courts. So why aren't more college presidents speaking up? It's because they're intimidated. It's because of this, folks. Title IX brings money. You, as a citizen of the United States, have the right to fill out a FAFSA, a financial aid form. And if you qualify for a tax rebate called a Pell Grant or called a guaranteed student loan, you can use those dollars to go to any institution that is recognized by Title IX. If the institution isn't recognized by Title IX, it won't be accredited, and you can't use your tax rebate, your financial aid, to pay your bill at that school. So why are other institutions remaining silent? It's because they're afraid of the money. They're being blackmailed into submission. They're being blackmailed into silence because they're afraid of losing that Title IX eligibility and that accreditation that allows you to use those rebates, those funds that are yours, to pay the tuition at Oklahoma Wesleyan University or any place else. I don't believe that we can sell our soul on the altar of Title IX. I don't believe that it is ethical or moral or missionally faithful to give up the battle simply because there are dollars used to threaten us into compliance. There's a time to stand for righteousness and justice and those things that are moral and good, and that's what Oklahoma Wesleyan is doing right now. I'm going to take a break. Again, the number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. If you're on the line waiting for me, I'll get back to you after the break, and if you want to call in, do so. Be back in about a minute.
What does it mean to be equal? According to the dictionary, equal means the same for each person. Last year, the so-called Equality Act was introduced in Congress by adding sexual orientation and gender identity as protected categories under federal civil rights law. This act would give special perks to some people just because they identify as homosexual or transgender. It's important to remember that many bills introduced in Congress have positive-sounding titles that hide their true agendas. The Equality Act is a perfect example. This bill puts people who live out their faith on unequal footing under the law. It imposes sexual orientation and gender identity provisions on religious schools and universities, rejects the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and so much more. FRC's new publication on this legislation is a brief summary of the dangers this bill poses towards those who hold a biblical view of marriage and the family. Visit frc.org/equalityact to learn more.
When you're back to school shopping, it's best if you don't shop at a store that endangers women and children. Target stores still have that policy which lets men who say they're transgendered use the women's bathrooms and fitting rooms. Clearly, that's a bad policy. If you spend your back-to-school dollars elsewhere, you can tell Target you value safety and common sense over political correctness. And you and your friends can still sign the Boycott Target Pledge at AFA.net. Together, we will be heard.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber.
8 Days of Hope 12 will be going to Black River, South Carolina. Last year in October, 25 inches of rain fell in the state, causing $22 billion of damage. And now you and I get a chance to go to South Carolina this fall and encourage people who feel like they've been forgotten. We have 70 homes out of the 250 homes that we're looking to work in that need brand new roofs. If you've ever done any roofing whatsoever, a couple roofs in your life, or maybe you've led a roofing crew or worked in construction, consider coming to 8 Days of Hope. We're looking for plumbers, carpenters, painters. Man, there's something for everybody. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com. We hope to see you there.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Visit 8daysofhope.com. Please pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this flood. And if you can't volunteer but would still like to help, donations are also needed. You can give and learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Dr. Everett Piper here again, sitting in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. Number is 866-372-7234. Again, I'm the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and I'm doing a little shameless self-promotion, I suppose, this afternoon by talking almost exclusively about Title IX and why it is being and how it's being used by the federal government, the Department of Education, the Office of Civil Rights, to turn the world upside down and do essentially the exact opposite of what the 1972 law was established to do, and that was to give women equal access to facilities, programs, and athletics. And today, it's a misogynistic, upside-down world where women are being told they don't exist factually any longer, and that anybody who fantasizes that they're a female is equal to a biologically real female. And we're also being told that under the auspices of Title IX that we've got to take away due process and privacy and the right to representation and dumb down our judicial processes in cases of sexual harassment claims, sexual assault claims, to a kangaroo court convened on campuses that contravenes and supplants the local law enforcement and compromises their adjudication and investigation procedures by having this group of amateurs, faculty, staff, and peers hear a case rather than letting it go exclusively to police and letting them do their work. I have a few people waiting for me on the line. I'm going to start with the two ladies. So if the guys, if you're on there and you've been waiting a while, hang on, but I want to let the ladies talk. So I've got Ann from North Carolina. Ann, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
So this doesn't apply directly to Title IX, mm-hmm. but I just wanted to share an experience I had, which was probably about 9 or 10 years ago with a former employer. Our department was called into a mandatory meeting, and we were basically given some background information on transgenderism and things, and then we were told that one of the members of our department was going to transition, and bottom line was we were told that we had to use the restroom with this person or find a restroom on another floor, and the building we were in was huge, and we didn't even know how many other people were in this situation. We were also told if we said anything to anybody, we could lose our jobs if we used the wrong pronoun or used the wrong name because the person was changing their name. We could be fired. We couldn't challenge the person, even with regards to work. Not challenging, but we couldn't disagree with them, I guess is a better way of saying it. But it was pretty horrifying, really. And you know, going into the restroom, it was embarrassing. You know, most of us just left. It was obvious that, you know, the person's feet were a man's feet, not a woman's.
So what was the end? What was the end result?
Well, I mean, we basically had no rights. We were told we would not know when the surgery was going to take place. So, you know, basically we were having to use the restroom with this other person or leave the restroom and find somewhere else.
And where does it stand now?
Well, I don't work for that employer anymore, but it's the same. This was probably 9 or 10 years ago, but that person I do know still works there.
So as far as you know, it's never been resolved in a positive way.
No, and it's not. It was not positive at all. It was embarrassing and horrifying. And this was well before this got into the general conversation.
Right. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story, because it helps the listeners understand that this is real and it's not just Everett Piper on a rant. It's about some hypothetical. This is a real situation that's taking place in real communities, in real workplaces, with real women that are being offended by these upside-down misogynistic laws. My recommendation for anybody listening to this is to contact the Alliance Defending Freedom. They represent people in cases of religious freedom and intellectual freedom. The Beckett Fund is also another organization that represents people accordingly, and there are other organizations across the nation that provide pro bono, free services, free legal counsel in situations like this, where your freedoms are being violated. Your freedom of expression, your freedom of religion, your freedom and right to privacy is being violated, and it's pretty clear that indeed you're being victimized by that. I would recommend that you go to these organizations and explain your case to them if you're suffering in a situation such as what Ann just described. Because why in the world would the government want to take Ann's rights away, her privacy away, her female identity away, insult her and say, you don't even have the right to your own toilet any longer. You must submit. You must comply. You must follow us. You must give this biological male access to your most private facilities. And if you even open your mouth and complain, you will be fired. This is not legal. This is not constitutional. It is not even scientific. I repeat myself here. We're the ones who are being accused of being anti-science. Conservatives and Christians are being told constantly, you guys don't believe in science. Well, we are taking a stand for the most scientific fact of human existence, and that is the identity, the physical identity, the biological identity, the genetic identity of the human being. We refuse to dumb down the human being to nothing but the sum total of his or her inclinations. We believe in transformation, not transgenderism. We believe that you can be transformed, and we find our identity in Christ. We don't find our identity in our appetites and our animal and base instincts. We have the higher definition of what it means to be human. We don't dumb the human being down to nothing but the animal and the appetite. We don't dumb the female down to nothing but the fantasy and the fabrication. These are winning arguments, and they can be legally defended. Call ADF, call Beckett, get assistance if you're suffering under similar situations. I'm going to go to Earl. Earl's been on the line waiting for a while. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Earl. What can I do for you?
Dr. Piper, I just want to say praise God for the fact of what you're doing and the things you're standing for. And if it would be all right with you, I'd like to say anybody that classifies himself as a God-fearing human being and a Christian should not even give a thought to voting for anyone other than Donald Trump, because anything else is going to be a vote for Hillary Clinton, who's a liar and who has cheated us, who's caused people to die. And God is our only answer in this country. And the Bible says that the men love darkness rather than light. And anybody that would vote for Hillary Clinton is definitely in that category. And I just want to praise God for you. Thank God for this program. I listen to you faithfully every day.
Thank you, Earl. I appreciate your call. And I know that you've thrown the Trump card, no pun intended. And indeed, that hasn't been the topic of today's conversation, but I do believe that it's important for everybody to vote. I do believe it's important for everybody to recognize that a constitutional republic is a government of a covenant. It is not a government of a king. In fact, a few episodes ago when I sat in for Tony, I covered that distinction that Oz Guinness taught me while I was in Oxford this last summer, that a constitution is a covenant. The Magna Carta of Great Britain was a covenant, and covenantal governments always lend themselves to freedom, whereas hierarchical governments always bend towards slavery and bondage. Belgium, the European Union, is hierarchical. France, if you will, is hierarchical. The Constitutional Republic of the United States has historically been covenantal, and the covenant is what we vote for. The Constitution is what we vote for. We don't believe in a king in the United States. In other words, presidents come and presidents go, but covenants, constitutions, ideas endure. My encouragement to everybody listening is when you vote in November, vote for the covenant. Vote for the party platform, the covenant, the policies, the ideas that matter. Presidents come and presidents go, but ideas endure. And I would strongly encourage everybody to vote for pro-life, pro-freedom, pro-constitution. Vote for those things and don't vote for any party or any platform that stands against those. I have Rome in North Dakota, I think. Rome, are you there?
I'm here. I'm in Nebraska.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Nebraska, Rome. What can I do for you?
I think what I had to say was just a little... Well, first of all, I really appreciate you guys taking a stand like you are. And then it was a little off of today's topic, but it was about women in selective service.
Yes.
It's a very uncomforting idea because I have three girls and just thinking that my wife even and my three girls could have to register for selective service and then just imagining, you know, like with war and stuff, if anybody's ever captured in war, I guess like a soldier would be beaten and imagine a woman would be, it would be a lot more severe probably. But how can we stand against it? Like, what can we do? What can we do about that to take a stand against it?
Well, Rome, my opinion is we need to continue to speak boldly in the public square, in the market square of ideas, and not be passive and not be silent. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a famous quote that you've heard from many, and I'll quote it again. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. I'll repeat that. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. We need to follow Bonhoeffer, who in the face of Nazi socialism, in the face of Hitler, refused to be silent. He recognized evil for what it was, and he spoke accordingly. He led accordingly. He had the opportunity to stay away from Germany because he was in the United States, and many of his friends begged him to stay in the United States because they feared for his life, and they knew that if he returned to Germany to lead and to speak and to act, that his life would be in jeopardy. And indeed it was. Bonhoeffer was hanged days before the end of World War II as the result of speaking against the German atrocities, speaking against Hitler, acting and speaking and doing what was righteous and just and good. We need to have the confidence that we know the end of the story. We know the end of the battle. And we know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. We need to step into the courthouse, if you will, step into the market square of ideas, if you will, step into the public square and speak. Write a letter to the editor. Speak on a radio program such as this. Lead in the Sunday school setting or in your church setting. Get involved in the Chamber of Commerce and the local civil agencies, the Rotary Club, and various different other agencies in your community. As a bold spokesperson for common sense and natural law and a biblical worldview and a Judeo-Christian ethic, because you know that these ideas have been tested by time and they've endured the test of generations and they work because they're grounded in the immutable, time-tested truths of God. Educate yourself and be prepared to engage culture by speaking the truth. When it comes to the matters of egalitarianism and men being the equal to women and women being equal to men in the sense that there's no differences, total egalitarianism, we know that that is that is nonsense, that there are differences and we need to speak accordingly and speak with the confidence of elevating the definition of the two rather than diminishing the definition of the two in the sense that there's no distinction whatsoever. I've got time to take probably one more call and then wrap it up here. And I'm going to go to Richard in Missouri. Richard, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
What can I do for
I'll
you, Richard?
I'll talk quick. You know, states and municipalities have done legislation to keep people from being forced into stuff against their religious belief, and sports associations and conglomerates have threatened these states or municipalities. Is there anything that can be done about these associations or these conglomerates? You know, they're worse than the executive branch when they're threatening states. We're going to boycott you. We're going to shut you down. And you know all the stuff, Missouri and the other ones have tried to pass legislation to protect your people.
Yep, you're right, Richard. I agree with you, and I think we've got the power of the purse when it comes to corporate intrusion into social issues, when they're trying to social engineer situations in North Carolina, Louisiana, whatnot. All we need to do is exercise the power of the purse and stop buying products from those particular companies. There's nothing wrong with choosing to go buy your cup of coffee from somebody else and going and watching a different movie or a different program, engaging in different activities. Use your money. There's power in the purse, and organizations and corporations will follow suit accordingly if there's enough pressure put on them as the result of a loss on the bottom line. I do have time for one last call, and I think it's Ann in North Carolina. You still there, Ann? Whoops. Excuse me. I already took Ann earlier. I'm looking at my notes improperly here. It's Natalie in Tennessee. Natalie, do I still have you?
Yes, you do. I was just going to speak on Title IX, and I'll make it quick. I was fortunate enough to play college basketball. I'm a 5'2 female. If I am very humble and realistic enough to know that if most guys that I grew up playing with could have been good enough to make the female team, but that was the big difference, that when it came to female standards and what it took to play at the Division I level, I was able to do that. If they continue to go down this road of chaos, which we know evil exists and that it's coming, it is going to continue to blur the lines, and it's not just about abilities because we know the value is the same, but the abilities are different. We're talking about a vast amount of my college career was not only in, you know, obviously in sports, but in the classroom. And the flip side of that is that it was a public university, and we spent so much time together. There's some of my dearest friends today. But
Natalie, I'm gonna cut you off here. Forgive me for the interruption, but I hear the music coming at the end of the hour here. I'll say this. Natalie, you're spot on. I'm glad we got a chance to hear you as the conclusion to this program. Because, folks, what Natalie just told you is what's going to happen next if you don't speak up. Women won't even have the right to their own sports program any longer. A women's soccer program is going to have men playing on it. A women's basketball team is going to be compromised because men who say that they're women are going to take away the point guard's position or the forwards position from a female because they claim that they are female and they want to take those rights away. These are issues that are important. I appreciate you listening to me today. This is Dr. Everett Piper from Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and I've been sitting in on Washington Watch for Tony Perkins. Blessings to all of you, and I'm sure Tony will be back soon. Continue to pray for him as he wrestles through the consequences and the results of the flood down in Louisiana. Blessings to y'all. Bye-bye. 7234.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Fan.